welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. I wanted to take the moment to thank you all for your feedback, your follows, and huge number of reviews. When I launched the podcast a few months ago, I never imagined the enormous demand that would occur in such a short amount of time. I'm just beyond thankful and full of energy to continue to deliver you cutting-edge dialogue as we tackle the sustainment topics that mean the most to you. That is why today, I am proud to announce that we are moving to publishing an episode a week to meet the demand and to continue and to increase our lethality. Now, I'll do my utmost to meet this goal as our team is very small. There may be some weeks we miss, but we promise to keep that to a minimum. I am so excited to see where this journey will continue to take us. Be ready for the great schedule of episodes we have planned for you all, delivering weekly. Now, today, I wanted to start by posing a question to you. Don't you wish there was one place you could go to get all your sustainment information, resources, guides, doctrine, and best practices from lessons learned? We all build our own toolkits over the years with the products we gather so we don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time. But wouldn't it be nice to have one ultimate toolkit for the entire sustainment community that you could access anywhere? What if I told you that one such toolkit does exist and has an immense amount of untapped potential waiting to be explored? Now, some may have heard the name Sustainment Unit One Stop and used it in the past, but I'm here today to tell you that the United States Army Combined Arms Support Command, CAFSCOM, has taken the Sustainment Unit One Stop and completely modernized it for the 21st century. It is now titled the Army Sustainment Resource Portal, ASRP. And I could think of no one better than the one who developed and manages ASRP to guide us through today's discussion, Mr. Jeffrey Peters. Jeff Peters has worked in the Department of Defense for over 16 years, beginning his career in data analysis for the Navy before transitioning to a contracting role and eventually a federal position with the Army. For the past 13 years, he has worked at Fort Gregg Adams in the Training Technology Division at CASCOM, where he leads multimedia development efforts, including interactive and virtual training products, videos, graphics, and other media that directly support soldiers and the sustainment community. Jeff also serves as a longtime web developer for the Army Sustainment Resource Portal, where he supported its growth from simple landing pages to a comprehensive public website now widely used across the Army and joint forces for sustainment-related content. And also, he is the editor for the Logstat podcast, which he brings each of these conversations that we have here and all these dialogues to life. I'm so happy to have you here on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Well, thanks, Captain Pyle. I appreciate it. And yeah, happy to be here. Happy to talk about it.
So first of all, we kind of want to dive right into this and see, so why was there a need to go from the Sustainment Unit One Stop to ASRP?
Because mostly modernization, like you touched on in the intro. When I started in 2012, I started as a contractor with the Collective Training Division here in CASCOM, and it was Sustainment Unit One Stop then, and it was a much smaller in scope site, and it was very much unit focused, hence the name. So it was sort of segmented by, you know, quartermaster, ordnance, BSB, ASB, etc. And that made sense at the time. And it just started growing as we got new CGs in, new initiatives. We got more modern. It started growing, and the Sustainment Unit One Stop sort of lived in that vein for a while. And then finally, right around 2020-ish, it was pretty much outdated. We knew we needed to do something to it. And so our CG at the time, General Fogg, finally said, look, let's go ahead and prioritize this. Let's change this, overhaul it. We had some ideas. And really, the goal was modernize it from a code and a technology perspective, but from an Army sustainment perspective, let's modernize it and make it a portal that's resource-driven as opposed to being, you know, unit-specific, unit-driven. So that's kind of the genesis of why it just sort of outgrew itself. The demand and the need outgrew the site, so we had to do something.
Okay. So he definitely sees, you know, that demand comes and just, so we see here, our demands enabling us to grow this podcast. It's like that demand had to change that website into something that's more user-friendly, more right. So more people can consume that information.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that came around about 2020.
Yeah.
So what was the timeline or how long did it take to actually go through its development? Was this a long period or?
It wasn't a super long time. And the thing is, I had been wanting, just from a tech perspective, I'd been wanting to modernize it for a while because I knew it was starting to feel the age. And it's not uncommon for military and government sites to be outdated. But we've always kind of prided ourselves, especially in training tech, on being more ahead of that curve as opposed to lagging behind the technology curve. So it was sort of like I had some things in mind of what I wanted to do. But once we finally kicked it off, I'd say it was about a 6-month process, start to finish. So
wow, for the Army, I mean, 6 months. I can't get a range scheduled.
Right. And I mean, it helps that it's fully a virtual thing, you know, a tech thing. But, you know, a lot of things contribute to that. Number one is there was already a lot of good resources on the Sustainment Unit One Stop. We just had to sort of reconfigure the organization of a lot of that stuff. It allowed us to remove a lot of redundant or outdated things as well. But I've always had really good support from subject matter experts as well to kind of see a vision of like, okay, what's good for the force? So Randy Rezat is one of my key go-tos. He was Lieutenant Colonel Rezat when I first met him, and he was helping me grow the One Stop back in the day with more resources that would be a little more relevant to the operational force because, you know, you don't have to just be a sustainment unit to need sustainment resources, obviously. So I leaned on him and some other soldiers in his group a lot to like really think like, hey, while we're doing this, what do we want to add to this? Like, what do we want to remove that's redundant or not useful anymore? And what do we want to add? And so they're sort of doing that work while I'm simultaneously doing the tech work to make a layout and stuff. And so that's why it went kind of quick because we could do a lot in parallel. Plus, you know, CG made it a priority. So I could move a lot of other things off my plate at the time, which was easier to do 5 years ago than it is now because everything's grown. But yeah, so it was about 6 months and it wasn't that hard to get it approved in terms of like OPSEC and PAO because a lot of it wasn't different in terms of the content. So we didn't have to deal with as much red tape either, which was nice.
Wow, that is very good.
Yeah.
Before we kind of continue, where can people go to find this?
Yeah, good point. So the easiest way to find the ASRP is literally just to Google like CASCOM ASRP or Army ASRP. It's going to be the first or second result when you do that. You could just type Army Sustainment Resource Portal as well, and you'd find it really easily. And it's part of the CASCOM, like it's a subdomain or subsite, if you will, of the CASCOM site. So if you go to cascom.army.mil, you'll see it on the homepage there. But then if you just simply add /ASRP to the end of that cascom.army.mil, you'll go right to it.
So awesome. So we kind of discussed about, you know, how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get to this website, so what kind of capabilities? Can you tell us a little bit about the capabilities this offers? Like, why should I be going to this website?
Yeah. Yeah. The intent has always been, you know, so it started before I even was a contractor, but the intent has been the same from the genesis to when I took it over years ago until now is let's put as many different resources that are pertinent to sustainment together in one spot as possible. So, you know, when you go there, you're going to find a landing page that has like some recent activity, which usually involves a lot of doctrine. Like there's always draft doctrine that the doctrine folks here want people to see and give feedback on, newly published doctrine, and then anything that we think is like kind of a hot topic item for the sustainment community, like, hey, we just developed this here, or we found this really cool tool. So you'll see that in the top, like front and center. And then there's some commonly referenced resources under that as well, just go-tos. Like one of the most commonly searched items on the site is the Uplog Planner. And for obvious reasons, I mean, it's a great tool for, you know, sustainment estimating. And so we keep that front and center. We have a sustainment force structure handbook front and center. Some of the transportation, like the deployer's toolkit is like front and center on that commonly referenced page. So your experience is going to be, even if you just landed on the homepage, you're going to find a lot of interesting stuff. Like
podcast is on the
right, yeah, exactly. Right, log stats right there, the recent activity, because we want obviously people to know about it. So you don't necessarily even have to have a specific reason to go there, and you can find like, oh, this might be a good tool. But then if you wanted to sort of dive in, so on the left side, you'll have this navigation of topics, of resource topics. So we'll have training, we'll have doctrine, we'll have virtual training resources, lessons learned, you know, operations plan, prepare, execute, assess related resources. So things that fall into those key topics. And then also training focus areas that are important to the Army. You know, the main training focus areas, we have things sort of divided into those categories as well. And it can range from anywhere from doctrine to maybe a lot of call resources, the Center for Army Lessons Learned. We have lots of resources there. Sometimes just one-off handbooks that we happen to find along the way that, or, you know, folks send to us. And what we do is we just sort of try to group them into those different categories. And then when we're getting more unit-focused, more proponent-focused, really, quartermaster, ordnance, transportation all have, like, individual training sections. You'll see some overlap of content there. Like, we put property accountability links in each one of those because that's not just a quartermaster thing, even though they kind of run it. But then you'll see some, you know, focused areas. Like, there's it's changed a little bit, and they're on hiatus right now, but there's some great QM handbooks that those guys work on that we will link on there. They need to be updated right now, but they're there. Or like their training sites, Quartermaster has a bunch of training sites. I use them as an example just because they always have a lot. But there's other transportation and ordnance items as well, like maintenance management related topics. Links to, I believe they have a maintenance management hotline, or I don't remember exactly what they call it, but it's kind of like a real time assessment tool that they have. Will be linked on their page as well. So you can explore and find all those things just by going through the menu and around the pages. And then if you are looking for something specific and you don't want to dig around in there, there's a search bar. So you just type it in the search bar, and it uses, you know, we have to use the government, the search.gov interface to do it, but it's pretty decent. So it's not going to be as comprehensive as Google necessarily, but it does, but it serves its purpose. It'll open it up in a new tab. It'll give you wherever it finds that term anywhere on the pages, and you can just go right to it. And then worst case, you can't find what you're looking for. That's not so bad because we have a pretty comprehensive contact list on there.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the pitch I give on how the site's structured and like laid out and where you go to find everything. And then when you can't, there's support.
Okay. So on that, so say I am a brand new soldier,
mm-hmm.
you know, or especially after having just listened to this podcast, what is something that you suggest after everything you just talked about is like, that's just like a must-see product
mm-hmm.
after going to visit, like, hey, tell people after this podcast, go see this.
Yeah, I think that definitely the homepage to see what the most recent stuff is and what we kind of identify and the sustainment community at large kind of identify as like, hey, these are good common resources that you're going to want. I go there first because, like I said, you'll find the op log planner and sustainment estimation tools. And while that might not be like relevant to you every single day, it's definitely good to bookmark it, or you get access to it, because that's the other thing.
So say I am a young soldier, or I'm like a young lieutenant. Like, so I'm like, what is op log plan? What is that?
Yeah. And honestly, I can't explain it very well being more of a tech expert than a subject matter expert. But essentially, it's a tool that is going to allow you to plan out logistics of, I mean, I want to say like weights and things like that are a part of it. You know, I've never actually used that personally.
The estimate tools.
Right, yeah, to estimate like, okay, I have this load, I would need this sort of like, you know, towing capability or something like that. That's just one example. It does more than that. But it's supported. The good thing about that is it's developed right here at Cascom. There's a whole team that deals with sustainment estimation tools. But I would definitely, like, I'm young or I'm new, I see that, I'm like, well, I don't know what to do with that. That's cool. You don't have to use it right away. But you might want to get access to it, because just like anything else in government, some things are more loopholes to go through than others.
Yeah.
Uplog has a lot of sensitive information, so you have to go through some hoops to get it,
okay.
including, you know, making sure you get as part of the access to the MS team, and that's where the software is found and things like that. So it'd be good to bookmark those things just so you have them and you don't have to worry. Like that way, when you do need it, you're not like, oh crap, I need to go in and request it. And I will say that the folks who run it are really responsive, but still better to have access up front. But then there's other, you know, the Sustainment Force Structure Book. That's just an easy CAC enabled download. Okay. There's tons of information in that book that is just going to give you all kinds of insight on, hey, this is, what the sustainment community, who updates this every year, thinks is most important in terms of just overall force and force development. So it'd be good. Again, it's a nice PDF you can just have in your hip pocket. And then sometimes there's a few doctrine publications as well that are on that homepage, but then in the doctrine section, that you might just want to download FM4O. Easy to find on there. Yeah.
And I would say, especially for anybody out there who's in command or about to take command, definitely get your hands on the force development, the structure book, because you get in there and be like, okay, this is what the Army says my unit should look like.
Exactly.
Or these are the type of units I'm supporting. So if you're out there, you're an FSC commander, you're part of a stamp brigade, be like, hey, what's this unit look like that I'm supporting right now? Get in there. It will help you get an idea of like, hey, this is what the BSB is supposed to look like. This is what my FSC is supposed to look like. So it helps give you that idea on especially planning factors, as well as looking for some good graphics. It's going to have the graphics on there for the equipment, because I know we're always trying to find them and pull those up, so you can pull those off as well. So I use it a ton when I was in command.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out that there's a whole section, relatively new, it's probably been like less than a year now, that ASU hooked us up with. They wanted a digital university presence on that site. And so we set it up so that it's linked directly to their SharePoints, so that if you are, especially like you were talking about, a leader coming in, there's also a leader development section on the site as well, but they'd want to go to that ASU digital university section and have the course material for the Log C3 and some of the other courses that the functional courses and things like that they've provided resources for on there. So easy to go find that stuff on the site, and then you have to rely on emailing someone and getting it later.
So this is a great toolkit. There's a ton of untapped potential and information. And that's one of those things where if people, find this, tap into it, how it can really just increase our knowledge across the force. Because so many times we try to reinvent the wheel. It's one of the worst thing we have in problems we have with the Army is like, oh, why are you trying to rebuild that product? I bet someone's already made that.
Yeah.
And same things here. So we have this great toolkit. That's why I'm calling this is the ultimate sustainers toolkit. But how can somebody, if they have good products or one things, how can they contribute to the Sustainable Resource Board? Like, hey, I want to get this out to the rest of the community. How could they go about that?
It's pretty simple. We're at the point now where we've got the categories sort of laid out in a pretty logical way, where we're not going to find something that doesn't fit in these categories. We'll find a place for it. And so, and it's important to know, it's, with the exception of a few documents here and there, we don't actually host the content on that site. We try to link to the authoritative sources.
Okay.
So, when we go to that doctrine page and we've identified a bunch of different doctrine publications that are relevant to sustainment, we point it straight to APD. Because there's no sense, it's like you talk about with redundancy and reinventing the wheel, there's no sense in us downloading and hosting all of those documents.
Oh God, how much that would, it's just data management.
Yeah, and then every time it's updated, we've got to redo what they already did. There's just no reason for that. And doctrine's a pretty obvious example, but we run into that a lot with other things as well, like call. We don't need to have different locations for the call publications that are already there.
Cool.
So if somebody found something really good and they're like, hey, we got to talk to these guys and get it on there, it's as simple as just shooting us an email, really. Okay. So that contact button, it used to just be one email address, but we've expanded it to make it a little more logical. So when you hit it, it goes to a contact page now, and there's an ASRP website email, and that goes straight to me and a couple other people. But then there's collective and doctrine and lessons learned. So if you wanted to, if you had like specific questions about the resources, you probably go to them. If you have questions about adding things or saying, hey, why isn't this on the site? Just email, use that very first link in there, the ASOP website contact email. And we get it. We get the email directly to us. It goes to a resource inbox, but then that forwards to me. And we kind of take pride in responding pretty quickly within a business day or two, mostly because, and we've all been there, we like, how many times do you send an email to someone, especially in government, and you don't hear anything weeks or maybe ever?
Yeah.
Hate it. And nothing bothers me more than like broken links and stuff too. It's like you go to a site, it's broken. It's the easiest way to turn someone away and they're like, well, screw this thing, I'm not going back. So yeah, we try to really fix those things quickly and then respond quickly, because the whole point is, it's like, hey, it's here for you guys. We want it to work for you. So it's not going to bother me. It's not like cutting in some like a day to say, oh, no, I need to fix that and get it to you. So we want it to work. We want it to be useful for you guys. So the easiest way would be to just hit that contact button and then the very first one on there is goes straight to me.
Awesome. No, that's just, I think it's a great way to just reach out to you guys and just hearing how much pride you guys be able to take in your work and be able to reach out. Cause like you said, how many times I've emailed stuff and like, it's just, well, haven't heard from them. Might never hear from them. Like just for simple things.
Right.
And so that's good to see that you're able to have that communication, that direct dialogue to people. So, and I highly implore anybody out there who says, hey, I think this is going to be great for the rest of the entire sustainment community. You know, reach out to the team here through that contact button, be like, and start that dialogue, start that connection on how could this be put onto the website? How can you build that direct link so that the rest of the sustainment community can tap into that knowledge?
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest thing is if I don't know the answer, somebody will. Yeah. Like I was talking about Randy earlier, he's been a subject matter expert. He's on those emails too. He's kind of like I'm kind of like the tech expert. He's kind of like the go-to subject matter guy, but he doesn't know everything either. So what we do, though, is we build like a little network of contacts here and then sometimes outside of Fort Gregg Adams where we can just forward it out and get an answer. And then we follow up. If we don't always hear from someone because they're busy and they missed it or something, we try to follow up. I mean, on your guys' behalf, you know, like it's, you know, I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's because I look at the ASRP and I always have since it was the one stop as that connection between us sitting here in an office doing stuff all day, not always knowing how things are going, and the force, you know. Maybe I'm trying to be cheesy, but I think that's important. Like that has to be the interface that directly supports you guys. What Cascom does should funnel through that and be the thing that people land on if they don't know anything else about Cascom, ideally.
Yeah.
And so if that's what it's going to be, then we try to pride ourselves on like, hey, well, then we're going to be responsive and help you out because you're here for support. It's not, you know, it's not the DMV. We're not like pissed that you came.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, man. So kind of one way, like, you know, as we always like to close out these podcasts, you see from all the great work you've done editing, but we always like to close out with an opportunity for the guests to provide some wisdom and some experience. Now, you've had years of experience working with both the Navy, the Army, doing a lot of data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So from all this experience, what kind of advice would you have for the sustainment community?
Yeah, and you know, when I worked with the Navy, I was doing missile defense data analysis. It's kind of weird that now I do completely different work, but that's a whole story. I'm not going to get into it, but it's a good thing. It's not a bad story. It's a good story. And even before that, I used to work in the business world and doing data analysis with like microchips and stuff. And what I would say is, while they're much different fields, data is data. You can never collect too much data. Like I've always been a proponent of that. Tells you everything. It's easy to get away from that in this day and age and just like, you know, see something in a headline or whatever and think, oh, I could draw a conclusion from it. That's easier to do than ever now, especially in the digital world. It's so important to not jump to conclusions and to look at data, collect data, look at it and let it guide you to the conclusion that you're getting at. Whether you're talking about when I used to do that for missile defense type stuff or whether you're talking about logistics based, you know, things here. If you have something that's not working the right way, start collecting data about that something, like whether it's a supply chain issue or whatever, and let it guide you. Let it tell you, look for those correlations and then find the cause. Like that's what I always learned in my engineering background, and it serves well. And even today, you know, with stuff I do now, when I'm editing the site or I want to add new features and stuff, and it's not necessarily a data collection effort, but I've got to use those critical thinking skills and try to make sure that you're, you know, believing what the system that you're working on is telling you, and do some trial and error, figure out how you're going to get that to work again. So you can never collect too much data. Even if that just means, you know, hey, you're trying to understand why you're having, you know, engine problems when you're towing this capacity, even though it's rated for it or something. Just an example.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So use the scientific method, for lack of a better term. You know, go through, figure out, like, hey, what data could I collect? Maybe I could collect something about, you know, some internally, if I have a way to connect it up to the vehicle, I could connect something about the engine or whatever. I could collect all that, see what it's telling you, look for trends, talk to people who know better than you. That's the other thing. Admit that you don't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
It is okay that you don't know something. And, you know, we get scared. And I see that a lot in meetings with the CG or with generals or higher ups. People are scared to tell them they don't know. I think most of the good generals and stuff appreciate it when you admit that you don't know something. But you don't know, followed by, I have a way to find out. I have a way to collect the data, figure it out, solve a problem, whatever. So that's kind of where my background has always led me. And it still helps today, even though I don't do data analysis anymore. But that's a big thing now, I know, in the systemic community too. So I would just say, yeah, be okay with all that stuff. Be okay with not knowing, but being able to talk to someone to figure it out.
Awesome.
So.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I just want to, once again, this has been a great conversation today. We just dove into everything with the Army Sustainable Resource Portal. I just want to thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Just this great overview. I know I learned a lot personally on more of the system capability, especially how to support it if I have something that I think is going to be great as an add to the ultimate toolkit, and just another way to get into it.
Yeah,
I know there's times where when I was in command, I wish there was things I would have tapped into. I know you get inside this bubble, you get into command, and it's just like just so focused on that, and you just forget everything else you learn and all these other resources around you. But that's one thing where I'm like, oh, I wish I would have tapped into this resource more. So I highly implore all the commanders out there, and especially those who are platoon sergeants or platoon leaders, section sergeants, get into this as well and train your soldiers at any rank on how to utilize this resource.
Yeah.
Because there is a vast amount of information, and it's all in one place. And that's what's going to really increase our lethalities as sustainers, is to be able to tap into a resource like that.
Yeah.
So once again, thank you so much again today, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, definitely, if you guys wanted to reach out to me, same thing. Go to the ASRP, hit the contact button, hit the one that says ASRP website, and it'll go straight to me.
So be sure to reach out to them here at the team. Once again, thank you, Jeff, for coming out. And just personally want to thank you for all the hard work you've done bringing this podcast to life. You've taken my vision and really brought it to life, and now we are impacting the systemic community across the globe. So I want to personally thank you.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be part of it. I mean, you guys make it easy. Like, there's very little to edit. I do have to say, it's just good, you know. So, but yeah, no, I appreciate it, and yeah, we're happy to do it. I mean, anything we can do to get more eyes on what we're doing here at CASTOM, and so that we can support people the best way possible.
Thank you. That is all we have today, folks. I hope you have all enjoyed our discussions we have today on this great resource. I really implore you to go and tap on into that. Be sure to stay tuned for upcoming episodes, as we're going to be celebrating the 250th year of the Quartermaster Corps, as well as doing another episode on analyzing 250 years of sustainment. As always, sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.